guest. We're so excited that you're here. If y'all would, please turn to the camera and welcome the our church online. We're so thankful that you've decided to join us. Next, I want to talk about the connection card. It looks a little bit different today. All of us have smartphones. So if you do have a smartphone, you're a first-time guest here, you're more than welcome to pull your phone out, scan that QR code. That'll bring up the link that takes it right to Pastor Keith. We just want to connect with you. We just want to get to know you. And then if you're in-house, there's also some cards in the back of your seat pockets there. You can drop those in the buckets at the back as you exit. But how exciting. So I just wanted to get up here and speak today just about the men's night. And we're super thankful that we had the opportunity. And if you missed it, I hate that. But, hey, your time is now. We're still going to offer in the fall. We will have something. We've got some plans going for that. So please join us. And next, I just wanted to talk about just a special opportunity that we have to open a special small group just for our men. And I know a lot of our men don't like to connect. And they don't like to talk outside of just the normal. But we're trying to challenge that. We're going to challenge God for what he can do within our men's group here at church. And we just want to invite you. So as you exit today, there is going to be, actually, look at there. Man, I love technology. There's also a QR code on the screen here as well, but it's also outside. Please scan that QR code. Join us for small group. It'll be on Thursday night here at the church. And I think most of you think, well, I'm already in a small group on a Thursday. It's fine. It's going to be after that. And we're going to transition in that, be a bi-weekly thing. So I don't want to talk too much. I get the opportunity with flowery words. I'll keep that between us because he sent that to me this morning. But I just love our pastor. But I get the opportunity to introduce a man that's been such a blessing to me. He's been a blessing to a lot of us. He's just an inspiration. He's a man of God, true man of God. I get to see him outside of this, and it just means so much for what he does and who he is, the personality that he has, and just being able to be personal, and it's just awesome. So without further ado, welcome our wonderful lead pastor.
Oh, my goodness. I messed with him this morning. I sent him a text. I said, when you introduce me, I think it needs to be like, hang on a second, I got to take care of some business here. Yep, okay, it's good. All right, just making sure. Years ago, I was doing youth ministry. I was doing youth ministry years ago. And if you guys grew up in a church idea, at the end of Wednesday nights, we always had this, like, thing where we called invitation. And we'd come down front and have a short devotional. And I did the devotional that night. And afterwards, I was being, Mr., like you said, personal. I love to meet people and all that. And as I'm going around, I'm saying, hey, good morning, good afternoon, evening, whatever. Glad to have you here. You had a guest. I said, oh, man, we're glad you guys are new. And he said, your fly's unzipped. That's the first thing out of the man's mouth. And I realized I had done that. That's one of the biggest fears that we have as pastors. So anyway, we took care of that business this morning. Hey, I got some really good news. Some half of you have heard this. I sent a text out last Monday. Liz and I went over and met with the doctors, and I got my pathology report in. And if you guys don't know, back in October, they found a 15-centimeter tumor in my colon and took it all out and then went through some stuff and all of that. But through prayer and through God's mercy, they told me last Monday that the cancer has been resolved. Yeah, praise God for that. Woo! He's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. And I just want to praise him for that, because I cannot tell you anything other than, I mean, I went and did some treatments and stuff like that. God works in all kinds of different ways. And you guys know, I really haven't missed a beat as far as what I've been able to do for Kingdom and in the church and all of that. Just had a few days of, like, tiredness and stuff. But praise God, I got my hair. I got my energy back. I'm excited about what God is doing in our life and our church. And I told Liz when we walked out of that day, that day we learned that, October the 4th, I said, this is spiritual. It is not physical. And the enemy is trying to do everything he can to destroy lives in our church. And here's the thing. As I look across this church, and I say welcome to you new people as well. Everybody, there's so many new people here already again today. We're not like some churches. We go, there's some new people here, and we point to the back wall. There's literally every Sunday we come here, there's new people in this building. And you're going to hear this in a minute, more and more and more. It's not about the building or coming here. It's about going out there. We're going to talk about that. But we're glad you're here. And I just want to say, man, that God has just walked me through this. And I lost my train of thought, but God has walked me through this. And I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for Liz, who walks with it every day with me. And just in some days when I'd get down and all this stuff, and she'd be like, when we first came home, we got the path report. And the path report said 15 centimeters, the tumor was here, right in here. But it also said it was head to toe. So it said there's no brain, there's no heart, there's no liver, all these things. And I was upset and crying a bit, and that's my nature. I cry easily. And she's over there going, wait a minute. It's there, but it's not here, and it's not here, and it's not here, and it's not here, and it's not here. And we went head to toe and just thought about it. And praise God for that. And we're just going to pray that continually. Don't stop praying, by the way. God's listening. God's listening. He's hearing. And here's what I'll say else about that before I get in the message. I know from experience, I know from being around people, that you start wondering, well, why me? Why me? Why this guy? Or why that person? Why this person over here didn't and this person over here did and all those things? I want to tell you something, and I want you to don't ever forget this. I am going to die. If last I checked, one out of one people dies. And you're a people. I remember being with you guys over here, man, young, and I was thinking, man, those 30, 40-year-old people, they're so ancient, and they're going, you know, I got one foot in a grave, another on a banana peel, and thinking that's really old, and now I'm 60, about to be 61, and some of y'all in this room are thinking, and some of you online are going, well, that's young, man, that's no big deal. Time is so relative, and it gets by so fast, so fast. You will be 60 before you turn around. Philip talked about it the other night. You said 65. I used to think 60, that's retirement people. That's them people. You know, they can't even walk more, you know. Man, I'm 4 years away from that. If I live as long as the Bible says that's the kind of the manner of life to live, I've got about 9.5 years left, 70. And it says by reason of strength, 80. My mom just turned 83, and I see what that's talking about. She's losing a lot of her strength, and Parkinson's has got her and all these kind of different things. Listen, don't ever forget that the healing here is not what we're after. It is not what we're after. And I know if that sounds, I'm praise God for that, and I'm praising God every day for mine. But I want you to know that what we're really after is where my friend, I got a text this morning, and my friend's father-in-law, it's just he was a friend too, but just over in the Shoals area, passed away yesterday. Guess what? From cancer. But this man, he's so much better off than we are because he is like in the midst of rejoicing with the angels or whatever that looks like. I don't know your theology on it, but whatever's there is a whole lot better than what's here. And I wonder sometimes if we hang on so much to this world. Oh, I want to live. And I do want to live. I got too much work to do. I got many things to do. I mean, Liz and I are newlyweds. We've been married a little over 2 years now, and I'm like, we're just getting started. So I want to see where that goes. There's so many things, dreams and stuff that's happening. And I watch this church grow, and I see fruit happening here, and it's just so powerful. It's wonderful what God is doing here. Paul said it right. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul said, King James said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. That means I'm arguing about it in my mind. Which one's better for me? Do I stay here and be with you guys, or do I go be with Jesus? Truth is, they're both great. Because if you leave me here, I'm going to talk about Jesus. And if you send me there, I'm going to see him, and I'm going to talk to him. And so either way, we win. And I want you to get that. I want you to understand that it's all about eternal things, and we're going to talk about that a little more in the message. How many of you know that God is a creator God? He's the creator. He's creator with a big C. And regardless of what the world has told you and tries to shovel into our kids' faces and shovel into our lives about, you know, the world and age and all this silliness that they talk about with, you know, bang, it happened, and here it is. I believe in the Big Bang Theory, too. God said it, and bang, it happened, okay? So that's the Big Bang Theory in my mind. And let me tell you, if you're not teaching your children the truth on this stuff, they will be confused in school. If you're in public school, and praise God for going to public school, because that's where people are. We need to go see them. Praise God for homeschool and all those other schools. But listen, we've got to be teaching our children the right things in this stuff. And God is a creator God. He's the creator. He said, let there be light, and there was. I get tickled at our arguments about that. Was it a real 7 days? And how did he create light? There wasn't any plants here. And there wasn't a problem with the plants. Was out there. God messed up. So he created light. And the plants came over here before the light came and the sun and the moon came. We want to argue about all that stuff. just accept that God's created it. I drove out of my driveway this morning. It was still a little dark outside, and the moon was bright. The sky was clear, and I just said, Lord, thank you for your handiwork. We just praise him all the way around. He's a creator God. And here's the truth of that. He built that in you. He made you a creator person. He made us creative people, some more creative than others. Some are talented, bent sort of toward that way, and some are not. Some are creative in ways that are not, quote, artistic. Some are creative in a way that are artistic. But we all are created. And we have this inside of us. We're created in the image of God. Even in our physical houses, we build them a certain way. Why? Because of tastes and thought and functionality. We want our kitchen in a certain place and make sure it's a certain size and closet space and garage space. And praise God for garage space, man. I got to find some more in my house. But just on and on. Pray. All these things, we get creative with that. Then there's the colors and the shapes. And you might walk in my house and go, ooh, this is really weird looking. And I might walk in your house and go, you still got wallpaper? And wallpaper's coming back. Y'all know that? It's coming back. And I'm sorry. I'm not going there. If you guys grew up in a wallpaper world, had to hang that stuff, you know, you don't want any more of that. But it's all beautiful. It's beautiful how you see that because you're creative. You're creative. God created you that way. This church is that way. We put things in order here. This is where we meet. But this is the functionality of this building. And I'm going somewhere with this. You guys are going to travel. We've been praying over this. Holy Spirit's going to do something amazing with this because it really connected. Caleb preached half of my sermon Friday night with the men, but it was awesome. But we try to create atmosphere and color and lighting and children's spaces. And I love this morning getting to take a family back and introduce them to the children's folks. And there were people standing there waiting on and greeting them and bringing them in and loving on those kids and bringing them into an atmosphere where the ultimate goal is to teach Jesus and let them know who Jesus is in their life and that Jesus loves them. Little Emmy, y'all got to see Emmy's t-shirt this morning. She said, Jesus loves me. This I know for the Bible tells me. So I don't know how you get that on a shirt that's about that tall, but they did. And we want the kids to know that. And we love our place. If you were a part of the building before us that would fit in the lobby, you are praising God for this place and this space and the beauty of it and all the things it's been able to do. Praise God we got the carpet that was in here up when we got here. Come on. It smelled way off and it looked way off. And we got it out of here and God afforded us the money to be able to do some things. And why do we do those things? It's because we're creative. We want people to feel at home when they come in this building. But it goes beyond that. It's not about a building. We're going to get there. Y'all go with me, okay? Y'all stay with me. If you leave early and say I said something I didn't say, it's your fault, not mine. And the side note of this is we have to take care of it. And we try our best to take care of it. It's all with the goal of putting you and me in a situation where we can connect with Jesus. I don't even see you guys when I'm up here playing. I see you now, but I literally just lose myself in worship. Everything that's on my mind goes away while I'm worshiping. And I get creative with it. Sometimes I get more creative than the band wants me to. But that's okay. We figure it out. I get them off the tempo or something. We get right back on. We're good. And the whole thing is about God doing it. You know, this is what we call our campus. Don't put the screen up just yet, Brandon. Just hang on for just a second with that. This is what we call a campus, a campus. And I looked at the word campus. If you break the word campus into two words, it's us camping somewhere. And that's literally what the word means. The Latin word for campus means field. And this doesn't look like a field, but that's the word. That's the idea. And here's the definition on screen. It's a place with temporary accommodations of huts, tents, and other structures. We're definitely an other structure. Typically used, and I love this. When I saw this, I thought, my goodness, that is right out of the Bible, even though it's out of Webster. It's a place where soldiers and refugees and prisoners and travelers hang out. If that's not that's a whole sermon series right there in itself, that we are soldiers for Christ. We are refugees in this world. We are travelers. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims in a place that doesn't belong to us. Our citizenship is somewhere else, and it's okay to get so heavenly minded you're no earthly good sometimes. We say that like we're cutting people down for thinking about heaven and not thinking about here. Listen, if it weren't for heaven, I couldn't rejoice in the fact that what I just said, my friend passed away this morning. But because of it, I can rejoice in that. Now, his family's sad and I'm sad and I don't like it and all those things. And we grieve and do those things. But ultimately, I will see Brother Woodall again. Man spent his life leading people in worship. That's all he did was travel and sing with a family band called the Woodalls, and they loved doing what they did. And he's gone, but they're just going to follow right along at some point. We are here camping literally. And we don't just camp in this building. This is a place we gather. We camp everywhere we go. We're camping in this world. God has placed us with a desire inside of us for something that's more than here. Have you ever, listen to me good for this, have you ever thought for one second, there's got to be more than this? I mean, there's just got to be more than this world. Our problem with that is we live in a rich, rich, wonderful, like we say blessed. Sometimes I think it's a cursing to have all these things. But we have so much that sometimes we forget that there's a better place than where we are. And it's easy to get comfortable right here. When I get hungry, I eat. Not everybody in the world gets to do that. Some people are hungry because they don't have food. And my mama used to say, I said, Mama, I'm starving. Hurry up and get that cooked. She said, you don't even know what starving is. And she's exactly right. I've never known what it's like to be starving. And so we get caught up in what we see. But God has built inside of you. And the reason you feel that idea of, man, it's got to be more, is because God placed within every human being, even the people who don't know Jesus know this and they believe this. They don't word it like we do. And they don't understand it in a little word, yet. They don't understand it yet. That's why we say not yet believer. Everybody we see is a not yet believer. And if you and I are doing what we're supposed to do, they could possibly find Jesus. And so the idea here is that God placed inside of us this eternal, spiritual longing. And unbelievers, people who are not in Christ, people like I was not too long ago, are so caught up in what's in this world, and they don't understand why the joy and that they really need inside is not coming. They don't understand what that's all about. They don't understand why they're so sad and angry and frustrated when they have everything in the world. George Foreman just passed away. I don't know if y'all saw that on the news or not. George Foreman was a multimillionaire. He mostly famous. Most people believe him, remember him for the grills. And he said that. They showed a quote on news where he said, most people think I'm a man of grills. I was a boxer, man. He was a boxer. He wasn't that. But my point with all that is George Foreman at some point found the Lord in his life, and it changed his life. He quit boxing for 10 years to preach the gospel. And then he figured the one best way I can fund my church is to go box again. And that's what he did. And he won the championship again after 23 years being out of it. Incredible human being. But let me tell you a secret about George Foreman. What makes him great is nothing about what happened on this world other than the influence he had for other people for good. All that matters now is, does he know Jesus? And he did. And we can rejoice with that. And love that. That's the eternal spirit that we have. We are a physical building in a spiritual house. A physical building in a spiritual house. And what I'm going to do today is open up some word. Y'all okay with some word today? Y'all okay with some Bible? If you're not okay with the Bible, I hope today it'll convince you maybe to fall in love a little bit more with it. And so we invite you to join in. When you came in, you should have gotten a worship guide, and inside that is some sermon notes. If you want to pull those out, we're going to fill in some blanks. If you're at home, you can go to our website, discoveryal.church, or if you're in the house and you like electronic notes, you can do that online as well. And so what we're going to talk about from a scripture, it's found in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And that's in the New Testament. And Corinth was a city that Paul had established to the church, and he's writing a letter back to them. And the reason he's writing this letter back to them is because they were divided. They were divided. They said, well, I'm a Paulite. I'm a Paulite. And somebody else said, I'm an Apollosite. And some said, I'm a Cephasite. And they were trying to follow their pastors. And the whole book really is about stop following your pastor. He is a dude. He's a man. He's a human, just like you are. And he's flawed. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And Paul is trying to get them to understand that if you're going to build a spiritual house, there's some ways to do that. And I want to open up some word and hopefully help us understand that. As a spiritual house, there's some things we must do. When we talk about a campus being here in a physical building, I want to get you out of that mindset to a degree that this is where we meet. Out there is where we go. And where we are, and where we're actually the spiritual house that God has called us to be. And the first point today is to be spiritual, not worldly. Be spiritual, not worldly. And that word spiritual gets thrown around a lot. When I say spiritual, some people in the world think tarot cards. They think spiritual, they think, you know, voodoo and magic and all these things. And people believe, they say, well, I believe in magic and all these things that our world points to. They see that as spiritual walk. When I'm talking about spiritual walk, I'm talking about walking with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who is part of the Godhead, who is the one who lives inside of all believers. That's the spiritual life I'm talking about. And here's what Paul said about Corinth. He said, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't even talk to you as spiritual people. And he gives some whys, and later on in that why, he says, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. When you came into this world, you were born into a world, and you didn't have to learn how to lie. You knew how to do it without anybody teaching you. I mean, you didn't have to learn how to do some things that you knew in your heart. When you did them, they weren't right. But that sinful nature part of your life took over, and you began to feel and fulfill what it wanted. And Paul knew that because we're divided in our minds, we had to understand that we had to be controlled by Holy Spirit, not by Apollos, not by Paul, not by Pastor Keith, not by our shepherds, not by your pastor if you're from another church, not by anybody else. And I love the influence that God has given me to be able to do what I do, but I am not the point, and neither are you. The point is Jesus Christ, and we're going to get more deeply in that as we go. And for Corinth, division was their main problem. Paul said, I want to bring you back together, and there's no better way to be brought back together than all of us be led by Holy Spirit who is in us. And the way you can see if you're doing that or not is just like you know if an apple tree is an apple tree, or if you know a pear tree is a pear tree. You know that because it has apples or pears on it. And you don't have to think, well, I don't know if this is a pear or an apple. You know a pear when you see one, right? You should. You know an apple when you see one. And so the fruit of the tree determines what the tree is. And Scripture says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I love this last phrase Paul puts in there. There's no law against these things. It's like going to an all-you-can-eat buffet and nobody watching what you're doing, and you can have all you want. And he's saying with all these things, with love, joy, peace, patience, this whole list, he's saying you can have as much of this as you want, and it will bless your life. It will bless your life. And that's how we know whether someone is in the Spirit or not in the Spirit. There's another whole series we can do on that. We may do that later, but there's a lot of confusion about that. Just make it very simple. If you're loving people, if you're following Jesus and you have this propensity in your heart to love somebody that cuts you off in traffic rather than cut them back off in traffic, you're being led by the Spirit. It's very simple. When your children disobey, if your propensity is to discipline them with love and show them kindness and gentleness, and at the same time disciplining them, you know you're being led by the Spirit. And if you're not, it's probably not the Holy Spirit of God, for sure. So how do we understand who and what we are? The rest of the message is really about the idea of how do we live in this spiritual mindset over this physical, worldly mindset. We camp here. This is a gathering where we come and camp in order to do everything I'm going to talk about out there and in here. It's a both and, not an either or. And don't get that confused. You don't go to church. You are the church. I don't go to church. I come here to worship. I come here to fellowship and to meet people and to show people Jesus and all those things. But I'm also doing those things out there, out there. My worship doesn't change because I'm out there. It's not different. I remember growing up in church, and there was so much differentiation between what we did in church and what we did outside that I thought I had permission. When I walked out the doors, I can do whatever I want to do, man. I ain't in church no more. Our youth group years ago did a skit where we called it Not in a Church Building. So they come across, hey, man, I got this joke, man. I got this. Is it a clean joke? No, man, it's not. But, hey, wait a minute. We're in a church building. Let's go out in the parking lot, I'll tell you out there. You know, it's that concept that's kind of a funny thing, but we live our lives that way. We compartmentalize our lives. We say, I got my church clothes. I got my church life. I got my church house. I got my church people. And we forget that's who we are everywhere we are. And those kind of people who are living that kind of life, when we live that kind of life, it brings God so much glory and honor and praise You don't have to worry about giving him the praise. You just give him the praise by who you are and what you do. So the first point today is this, and it's the point that Caleb made the other night. I went, oh, my goodness, he's going to preach my sermon. I was sitting next to Jeremy. I said, man, he's fixing to preach my sermon, man. It's to be a conduit for God's growth. It's a conduit. We are simply a channel through which God operates in the world, and there is no plan B. God created his kingdom, his church. He created us, and there's a lot of words that are kind of synonyms for that. But just think of yourself as being the body of Christ and how God increases his work. How? Through you and me. We're planters. We are harvesters. We are plowers. We are growth. We're always trying to multiply ourselves. And that plays out in a lot of aspects of our lives. So we are not the focus, but he who runs through us is. Did y'all hear that? I'm going to say it again. We are not the focus. It's he who runs through us that is. It's the fruit of our labors that encourages people. It's not us telling. I always thought if I just told everybody enough truth and they get enough truth in them, then they'll be a believer and everything will be fine. That's not how it works. You can tell people truth and they can gather truth and they can be more of a believer that way, but it's really about how am I living my life? Who's ruling in that? Paul said what's important is God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose. I pastor, but so do you. Everybody leads somebody somewhere. And so he says, we're planting, we work together for the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. We'll talk about rewards in a moment. But we are both God's workers. And I love what Paul says. He's talking about him and Apollos. Me and Apollos are God's workers. And he says to the church, you are the field and you are God's building. He's not even about, Paul wouldn't have known anything about a church building. He would have known about synagogue, which was kind of their church building. They knew places to worship. And I used to get upset with preachers and say, well, church buildings are not that important. Well, it was to God. I mean, he built a couple of them. He built a tabernacle and he built a temple. And it was a place where he wanted people to recognize that he was. Sometimes it was in the mountains. And the tabernacle itself, the tent that moved everywhere, it went all over the place. But God was the reason why they moved. And so he's the same reason for us. So we're his field. We're planters and waterers at the same time. We together are God's field. And he will plow, sow, harvest, and we'll reap, and we'll work together with him to do that. I love it. I've told you guys this before, but I had a professor in Bible college that said, I love what I'm doing because I don't know what I'm doing. And what he meant by that was everywhere you go, if you just live for Christ, Jesus is just going to all over the place. He's going to be everywhere. And you get intentional about it sometimes, but sometimes, man, people just catch what you have. They want what you have. They want to see why you're living the way you are and thinking the way you are. Why do you give so much and you're loving so much? And why when somebody slaps you on this cheek, you turn the other one? And why are you guys gathering together and singing these crazy songs that I don't understand? And why do y'all bow your head and talk to somebody that's not there? And all those things. They know that we have something inside of us that's so much greater than what they have in their life that they're gravitating toward that. That's why men's ministry is important. It's why ministry itself is so vitally important, because we're simply following Jesus with each other, moving to a destination. So how do we build on this house? How do we build? We build carefully, and we build purposefully. Let me make sure I didn't skip a page. I did not. Praise the Lord. See, when you get 60, you have to ask those questions. We build carefully, and we build purposefully. Here's how Paul describes it in the text. He says, because of God's grace given to me, I have laid a foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. How many of you grew up in a house that you don't live in anymore? And you drive back through the neighborhood where somebody else has done something to it. And you go, what in the world are they smoking? They messed my house up. I mean, look at the weeds around the flower gardens and look at the color. Ugh, chartreuse and green. What's wrong with them? And you look at all these things because it's not what you built. And Paul is saying, we put this on a foundation. Here's the foundation. For no man can lay any other foundation than the one that we already have. That is Jesus Christ. And we have to be careful how we build on that house. There are other builders coming. Guess who that is? It's us. It's us. It's us. We are the ones who are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ ourselves. And so there's an assumption in this text. So I want to talk to some of you who may be questioning about whether or not you are in Christ or not, or whether you know Christ or not, or whether you understand. If you're online or whatever, wherever you are, you hear this, that if you do not know Jesus as Lord, that is the first place you need to start. That's your foundation. You need to place yourself in a place, on a place that you can trust that is not going to fall apart when you do. And that's the point of this whole thing. How to build on that foundation. The assumption is that you have him. Accept Christ. You can do that right from where you are right now. You can simply assent. We call it assent to faith. It's the step before baptism, before any of these other things. You have to understand that Jesus is Lord and you're not. And you're not. As soon as you can submit that, as soon as you can submit that, that there's something greater than you and his name is Jesus, you can begin building on the house in which and where you are. And it doesn't take a lot other than your whole self, how you speak and represent the Lord. What work are you pouring into your life for the Lord? What memories are you creating? Where are you increasing in your life? Where do you see yourself right now building on the foundation of Christ in your life? Don't make that bigger than it is, and don't make that smaller than it is. No, I'm just a housewife. I'm just a mom. Those kind of statements make me crazy. I don't have a career. I'm just a what? And you start filling in the blank with what you do. Isn't it amazing how we equate who we are with what we do? And here's the kicker about that. There's another whole sermon for another time, one of those things. But if you're defining yourself by who you are, by what you do, and you don't like what you do, you probably don't like who you are. And you question it all. Is this all there is? Huh? Is this all there is? I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Well, let me tell you where to start. Start building your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so, man, yeah, number four comes before five. Why does Paul say it's important to build carefully in the kingdom? Well, here's why. And so, that I want you guys to listen carefully to this point. There's some things I want to say and some things I don't want to say. And I'm just trusting, based on prayer, based on what the Holy Spirit's going to, he's going to help me with this, okay? So the point of your notes is probably worded badly. It says, our building will be tested. It'll be tested. This building, this physical building, gets tested a lot. Living here where we live, we get storms and, you know, tornadoes and all these things. It'll get tested whether or not it's standing on a firm foundation and it's framed up very well. Okay? And so thank God it's still here. So I'm not talking about a noun here. The word building, put out beside that word building or right somewhere, that's a verb, not a noun. So our building means how we are building, okay? So I worded that. I noticed that after notes were printed and I was on here, I thought, it's really about the idea of how am I building is going to be tested one day. And it'll be tested now. But ultimately, Paul says here, on Judgment Day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. Fire will test you. Right, Jennifer? Y'all know that, right? She shared her testimony last year with our Faith Under Fire. We're talking about a house fire that they had. And how devastating. If you've ever been through that, you understand what I'm talking about. And there's things that get tested in a fire. Some things survive and some things don't. And Paul is saying in this text is, by the lives that we live, you are going to be saved in Christ. This is not a salvation word. This is not Paul saying, well, you got to do enough and be enough so that one day when you see God, you have to see him on a good day, when you had a really good day and he's not mad at you. And you just say, Lord, I'm just a mess. He said, yeah, you are. Go to hell. God's not going to say that to you. He's not going to say that to you. Let me just say, too, about that phrase, when you pronounce that to somebody, when you tell somebody to go to hell, there is nobody on the planet that I hate bad enough that I want them to be eternally lost. Careful how we use our words, y'all. God's not going to say that. God's not here to condemn us. He's here to save us. But he's saying the way in which we build on this foundation does matter. I believe this text is connected to the idea of sanctification. Now, that's a big word. Some of you are like, what in the world does that mean? Sanctification is the process. Salvation comes from God. He gives that. He gives the forgiveness. He wipes the slate clean. But the sanctification process, in my opinion, at least for this old boy, will never, ever stop. I don't think I'll ever get to somewhere and say, well, Here I am, man. I got it right. I'm the best husband. I'm the best pastor. I don't mess up with my kids. I don't mess up in my own personal life. Well, I don't think we'll ever get there. But let me tell you, don't use that as an excuse to say I don't have to get there. Or I don't have to work on getting there. You know, I learned this a long time ago. I grew up in a very legalistic-minded church. If you don't, you burn. Turn or burn. That was the church I grew up in. Well, then I found grace, and I found some churches over here were saying, wait a minute, it don't matter what you do, because God's grace is going to save you anyway. And both of those things create lazy Christians. Because these guys over here are saying, there's no way I can live. That's where I was. I can't live up to this. I'll just go be a hellion with my friends and enjoy while I'm here. And when I die, I'll just die and be in hell. That's okay. Because I felt like I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it enough. Then you get over here with these guys, and these guys are saying, it don't matter, man. Grace got you. Let me tell you something. Grace does got you. And Paul says in Romans 6 that it is not an excuse to say whatever I want to do goes, and it's just fine. This creates lazy Christians just like this one does. The only difference is this one over here thinks he's fine, and this one over here thinks he's going to hell. And so the truth lies in between all of those things. We are saved by God's grace. There's nothing you can do to get yourself saved, but Paul says how you build on it matters, and here's why. He says if the work survives in judgment, in that fire, if the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. So Paul's not talking about salvation. He's talking about reward. How you build your house matters because of reward. Because of recognition, Max Lucado, we're doing a Tuesday night study. He calls it recognition, the idea of recognition. He's saying that builder will receive a reward. But if the work burns up, if you live your life worthlessly and against anything that you kind of sort of believe, you're just kind of that nominal person that's just got in for a cause. You just come to Jesus for a fire insurance. Here's what Paul says about that. The building, if the work is burned up, the builder's going to suffer great loss. Great loss. At the end of my time, I would love to be able to look back and go, not that anything is matter. I want to see people behind me who's coming to Jesus. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. And we live our lives for that. He says the builder will be saved. There's your point. There's your out if you want an out. And I hate it when people come to Christianity for an out. It's been a hellion. I've just been bad all my life, and I'm just sinning all the time, and I need some salvation. What do I need to do? And then we play the game. We say, just say a prayer, get baptized, repent of your sins, confess, come to church, and you're fine. We got to stop playing those games, man. People need to understand that you don't come to Jesus so I can help you feel good on Sunday or so that somebody can say, oh, I got it all together and I'm going to be in heaven one day. We come to Jesus set on fire for evangelism so we can go find somebody else who's on their way to hell, and we want to pull them out of that. We want to save them from that. It's like watching a five-year-old drown in a lake and go, well, I hope he gets all right. I hope somebody helps him out. Guys, we're walking around people every day who are giving their lives to the devil and don't even know it. Don't even know it yet. People are not looking to be saved because they don't know they're lost. If I don't know I'm lost, it's like a man trying to ask his wife for directions. He ain't lost. He just, look, he got this, man. I got this. You're lost as a goose. Give up and say, help me. I need some help over here. Praise God for GPS. Somebody in their life needs a GPS, and you're it for Jesus. And they're looking for you. Paul says, build strong. He says, the builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the walls of a flame. I don't want to enter into heaven going, whoa, you know, glad I got in. Now, there's a bunch of sermons I could preach from that. I'm not going to do that today. But there's some ideas and things that people come up with in that that's not true. Please, if you didn't hear anything I just said, make sure you hear that I said you don't work your way to heaven. You can't pile up enough good stuff to make yourself right with God. Only Jesus can do that. And if you want to, you don't know how to gauge that, take everything you've ever done that's good and make a list. And take the one thing that Jesus did, and that is die for your sins over here, because he was the perfect Lamb of God and didn't do anything wrong and became your sin for you. And see how you measure up to that. That's the standard. I'm not the standard, praise the Lord. We challenge each other, and we want to be a good example, but Jesus is the standard. We want to stand on him. You see, here's the thing. The last thing is that we don't do this alone. It's something in this next text that I hadn't seen. I've seen it since, but it was years ago. I was like, I don't know what this, didn't really know what this text was about. I hope they're able to reveal something to you today. It's going to be, listen, the devil wants you to think that you got to do this by yourself. You say, well, man, my spouse don't even come work with me, or my kids are not involved. Now, you can start feeling kind of alone and out there and all those things. But understand this, we build together. We build together. And the people that try to do it by themselves, are just like I was years ago trying to get this thing myself and all this. I just was trying to do enough good to make God happy. Listen, just give up on all that. Paul says this in the text. He said, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Y'all, please look at this text on screen, on the paper, wherever you need to, because what I heard this say used to is that you, me, are a temple of the Holy Spirit. There's another text that says that, and that's true. This text is not saying that. If this were, and there is a version out called the Y'all version. Have y'all seen that? If you got YouVersion Bible out, just look up the Y'all version. It will annoy the mess out of you. Because every word is plural for you is y'all in that translation. That's the only thing they changed. I don't know if they were trying to be funny or what, or just give us Southerners a way to use y'all legally. I don't know. But if there was a, in the y'all version, this needs to say, don't you realize that all of y'all, did y'all hear what I just did? Everybody that's not from the South just went, ugh. All y'all? Yeah, that's plural for y'all, even though y'all is plural. You know what you're going to get in church, do you? You have no idea. But he's saying, listen, let me get back to serious. All of you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Y'all, I missed that one growing up. I missed that because he says God will destroy anyone who destroys his temple, for God is the temple of God's temple is holy, and y'all are that temple. The you in this passage is not singular. It's plural. And he's saying that we all together walk. And here's what the enemy does. He is trying to convince some of you and me oftentimes. He gets in my head. He's trying to convince us, I don't need you. I don't need you. And he's trying to create spiritual introverts. There's a myth about introverts, I believe. I read this yesterday. Somebody put a meme out. And there's a myth about introverted people. And people like me see it in them all the time. We think that introverts are that way because they like to be alone. I don't think that's true. I think you like some quiet time away from people like me. But God didn't create anybody. I don't care how introverted you think you are. God didn't create anybody to be alone. In fact, one of the first things he said when he created man and woman, it is not good. The first time he said, it is not good that man be alone. I thrive on relationships. I thrive on action and moving and going out and being with people. People who don't like those kinds of things, you're not wanting to be alone. You just need some quiet. I admire that. I get my quiet in the morning from 5 till about 7 or so. And by then, the extrovert in me is like, I got to go find somebody. I got to text somebody, talk to somebody. For those of you who are introverted, you may think, well, man, I get my quiet time and I just enjoy it so much, I need 6 more hours of it. I need some more of that. I like that. So here's what I want you to understand. Everybody around you who are spiritually introverted, that means that they're not wanting to be spiritually minded. The way you approach them might bother them. Because I'm convinced with all of the spirit that's in me and what God has told me and what God has shared with me in his word, that even the people that like their alone time, they have to have Holy Spirit to survive in this world. Even if they don't know him, even if they don't know what that looks like. And I'm just trying to encourage us today to understand that as a church, we are an organism that moves. When the disciples were asking, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He didn't even know what he was saying. In fact, Jesus said, you don't even know what you're saying, Peter. God had to give that to you. And then Jesus made this statement, upon this rock I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The rock there is not Peter, by the way. It's not Peter. Contrary to what many people grew up being told, Peter was an amazing guy and a wonderful man and all those things, but he was not the foundation of what Jesus was building on. It was the confession that Jesus is Lord that was the foundation. That's the conviction of all of that. I can't stand on Peter because Peter messed up like me, but I can stand on the foundation that Jesus is Messiah. That's the rock. He's the rock. He's the foundation. And as we move and live and breathe as a church, no matter what our organizational structure does and changes over time, and that's one reason I'm preaching this series, we are a campus of people. We camp here, we gather here, we small group here, we have parties here, we worship here, we do all these things here, but we go out there to be kingdom to people in this world. And if we miss the out there, the in here don't mean too much. And what's so frustrating is, man, that people come in here with expectations of like, well, I'm going to come there and it's going to be this nice, friendly. I heard a lady the other day, she was telling Liz and me, she said, I heard you guys have such a great, friendly church and all that kind of stuff. And that's true. And I'm praising God for that. But y'all, we got a church full of people. Just stay long enough. Somebody's going to make you mad. Just stay long enough and you'll figure it out. But we have to remember who the real enemy is. And the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And we move together. We are God's spiritual temple. We are not a building. We are not stationary here. We are a mobile unit that moves into this world as God's spiritual house. And we are to go in order to bring people to Jesus. And I hope, like everything, they decide to gather with us. Right here in our community, there's hundreds of gatherings this morning right now with believers just like us. And their colors may look different, and their singing might be different, and their clothes might be different, and all those things. But ultimately, Jesus is the same. When we started this church, my friend Eric Pugh, some of you may know Eric, he goes to Lindsay Lane Baptist, one of the most encouraging human beings I've ever met in my life. And I was questioning, do we want to start another church and buckle the Bible belt where you can take a compass and draw a compass 100-mile radius and there's 1,000-something churches? Do we want to do that? And Eric said, let me tell you something, brother. It's just one more door open for people to find who Jesus is. Man, I love that spirit. I love that spirit. And I want us to continue to be that kind of church where, yes, we're going to gather and harvest here, but we'll tell you very quickly, we're not for everybody. And if we're not for you, we'll help you find some place that is for you where you can serve in God's big C church in his kingdom that really matters and be his organism, be who he's called you to be. If you'll let us help you do that, we would love to, but we want you to know we would love to have you right here. We want to help you find where God would have you to be. Man, I hope this is communicated this morning. When Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, he's not talking about church buildings. Those fall all the time. He's saying, don't mess with my people. That's Jesus talking about me and you. He's that when it stands in front of the bully, the enemy, and says, look, you ain't got any right to these. These are mine. You cannot. He says, you cannot snatch them out of my hand. He says, please, today, would you stand with me, please? I want to ask you today, as our prayer team comes forward, to pray with you. Just for those of you who are guests, these people that are moving about and moving out into the edges of our room right now, this is our worship, our prayer team, rather. And our prayer team are people who dedicated their lives to praying over you. Many of them got here early this morning. They walked between all these chairs, and they walked through this building. It was so funny. I went back to the storage area, and two of them were up in that, like the attic room where the storage stuff is, and they're praying. I don't know if they found a demon back there or what, but they're praying. And I'm like, they're praying every corner of this building. Why? Because we know the enemy will do everything he can right now to stop what you're doing and thinking about coming to Jesus. He'll even use me. He'll use what I'm saying. He'll use something, somebody next to you or whatever. So whatever you have to do to get the distraction out of your mind right now, to get to the point where you can say to Jesus, I accept you as Lord Jesus. I accept you right now. Whatever you have, if you have to close your eyes, if you need to sit down, if you need to come to a prayer team play, I wish you would. I wish you'd come and pray with somebody. Some of you in here this morning are struggling in your marriages. You've had an argument, or you've been upset with each other, or maybe you've lost your job. I know people right now in this room that are looking for work, trying to get work and make money to be able to pay the bills. That y'all, God is not like limited in your prayers. You pray about anything. And you can talk to him right from your seat, but we have these people that are dedicated to pray over you in the spirit, and they would love to have that opportunity. If you'll just step out, if it's a couple and you want to step out with each other, go pray over your marriage or your family or your kids or whatever. Maybe you have a sickness like I did and you want to pray for healing. We believe God heals here. We know he does. We know he's in charge of all of that. And so you just come and let somebody pray over you for whatever it is. And Father, as we begin this process of ending our service and worshiping and singing this song again, God, to build our lives on you, Father, we truly want to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus, God. We want to do it carefully. We want to do it prayerfully. We want to do it spiritually minded. And the only way we can do any of that, God, is if you give us what we need to do it, because we cannot. We will not take one step alone. We cannot move forward without your help. We cannot exist without knowing your presence in our life, Father. I don't take a breath that you don't give. Father, you give all breath. You're breathing. Father, right now, breathe Holy Spirit in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Be in our lives. Help us to know you more deeply, God. Even if we don't understand what that looks like, Lord, we are not afraid of anything that you have to give us. And we want to open our hearts up. We want to open our physical hands, if we have to symbolize the idea that we are ready for you to come and permeate our lives. God, we praise you. And we honor you. And as these who either are asking for prayer or being prayed over right now just by me in general, God, I pray for you to come and move in our lives, Father. I build my life on you, Lord. I build my life on you. Trust can't go anywhere else. Don't trust in anything but him. God, a hand clap of praise right there. He is worthy. Come on, give him your best. You got a few more seconds to give him all you can in here so you can go give him all you can out there. He is so worthy, man. Build your life on him. That's what you heard today, man. God is amazing. You guys are wonderful. I hope if you're a guest with us, you'll hang out with us a little bit. Let us get to know you, to meet you, and just, man, just introduce you to our Lord if you need that. I want to be able to do that. If I hadn't already done that enough, I'll do it some more. We'll talk to you about him all day long. I want to just give a word to our partners. Be sure before you leave today, this is for our partners only, not our guests. It's to make sure you give. Make sure you, if you want to put it in the boxes back on the doors back there. If you filled out one of those connection cards in-house, as you're leaving, would you just drop it in the collection boxes? There's two little black boxes, one by each door. Just drop that in there. I would love to connect with you this week just to say hey and just let you know who we are and invite you into what God is doing right here in this place. I look across here, man, and I'm just absolutely amazed. God is so good. He is so good. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you this or not. I'm a good saying that? Okay, yeah. I think Dan will be good. Those of you didn't see.
Is the live stream off?
Yeah, is the live stream off? Are we good? We good, guys?